Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Let me officially proclaim the summer is over. Welcome to the show. Hey, look at that. I haven't seen that yet. Welcome to the show. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy, Steve Tasker alongside. I am back. Steve is back. We are here. And yeah, summer feels over today. Not for you,
and you
but for many of us it does.
We're looking at the camera view of the state. You didn't see the new turf?
That's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, it was in all last week,
I haven't been watching shows.
It looks dynamite, man.
I listened to some shows. Did not watch any shows.
We had the big discussion too. The fans are like wondering where they like the red, red in zones. I like the blue. I gotta say,
I do too.
I do kind of. I like it.
Welcome to the show. I'm John Murphy. In case you forgot, this is Steve Tasker. We're here from now until 3 o'clock. Happy to be back, Steve. I have to tell you, after a couple of weeks off, we had the 1 week with no shows, and then a couple of weeks around that. So that's gone about 3.5 weeks. I feel fully refreshed.
You're on the Craig Rivet summer plan.
Kind of. I was thinking about that, getting together with Ribs up in Canada. I was in Canada, but fully refreshed, fully rejuvenated, ready to go, and ready for the 2019 season. I feel good.
Yeah, and the training camp's less than a couple of weeks away, 10 days away, and it's going to crank up, and we'll be traveling around doing games before you know it.
That's right. It's coming, and it's great to be back, and thank you for everybody who filled in. Chris Brown did the majority of it. Thank you, Chris, for doing that.
It was a little bit of a roller coaster while you were gone, I'll admit.
How did you like sitting over here? You sat over here a couple times, right?
I don't know if I like the big boy chair.
Why? From what I heard, you sounded great.
It's a little exhausting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because you actually have to think about things.
You do have to
there.
Think ahead a little bit. Yeah. And I didn't do much thinking for the last couple weeks. I had a great couple of weeks. So 1 week in the Finger Lakes, 1 week here in Western New York. Last week, I was telling you about it, in Prince Edward Island in Canada. Just on a flyer, went up there with my wife, had a tremendous week. You ever been up that way?
Not even close. It wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah, it is spectacular.
Nova Scotia sounds so far away.
It 2-hour flight from Toronto.
That's not bad.
Prince Edward Island, great, just great people, great weather. We caught some really good weather, fishing a couple times.
And you said it was kind of like small town, like rural kind of thing, right?
It's simple, slow paced. The biggest city is Charlottetown. Prince Edward Island is 65,000 people. It's like the size of Amherst.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest city, the capital of PEI. Just great people, though. The people made all the difference in the world. Just friendly people. And went out fishing a couple times. Did a lot of traveling around, looking at lighthouses and stuff. It's very cool.
Do we have pictures of the fish that you...
We may, yeah. We went out fishing a couple of times.
There we go.
Oh, that's Keuka Lake.
That's Keuka Lake right here, right?
Smallmouth bass. I caught a Keuka.
That's kind of big for a smallmouth bass, isn't it?
It was about 16 inches. State record is 18.
And that's look at you.
That's a codfish that I caught last week off PEI in, what do they call it, St. Lawrence Sound. That was fun. I'll tell you what, the codfish, the cod there, a little bit bigger than the bass. The bass is more fun. And the captain, the fishing captain and PEI didn't like when I told him that. He said, how'd you like that? And I said, yeah, it was pretty cool. I said, I caught a bass a couple of weeks ago in the Finger Lakes. It was a lot more fun. He was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, he got mad.
Leave it to you to insult the guy on his own boat.
Probably not a good idea. But, yeah, my wife and I went out fishing. We had great – I mean, they got, Steve, seafood.
That's what they
fresh,
eat, right?
Like, hours old, you know. Yeah, that, yeah, I mean,
everything's right
mussels.
Right out of the ocean.
Lobster, everything you want. Scallops, anything you want seafood-wise. Just a great low-key weekend. And really, I had a chance to kind of collect my thoughts and get ready for 2019. I've read a lot over the last couple of weeks about the entire NFL and kind of reviewed what went on in the offseason, and I have to say I'm pretty excited about it, really excited about what's
going on. Okay, so you started doing like the – because you and I are like neck deep in the Bills all day, every day. What did you think about – what did you notice about the rest of the league?
A lot. Read a lot about the Jets, who, you know, we talk about a lot on the show. I didn't realize a friend of mine used to work with – I think – I don't know if Jay Harris was there, but when Dave Soucy – he was an intern at Channel 4 years ago, and I knew
here
him
in Buffalo.
Yeah, He's now vice president of football administration for the New York Jets. I didn't realize
You're
that.
You're kidding.
No. And he's been there for a year or two. How did that get by me? That right. I sent a text to a friend of mine. How did this get by me that Sosie's kind of running the Jets these days? But there's just a lot of good stuff going on and a lot of time spent kind of reflecting on the offseason the Bills have had and what's to come. And, when I was in town for even in the Finger Lakes, people are into the Bills. You get talking to Bills fans a little bit, and they are totally into it. In fact, we had a conversation. I was at a family golf tournament in Naples, New York, a couple of weekends ago, and, you know, talking to dinner with cousins and people, and they're all right, how many wins for the Bills? They went around the table. And I said 9 or 10, and I was on the low end.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother said to me, do you think we're overly optimistic? And I said, maybe, but that's good. I like the optimism, but I was saying 9 or 10, and I'm going around the table, and they're saying 11 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins. Oh, I said, whoa, okay.
I got to tell you, that's kind of – I'm above 9. I'm 10 plus this year. That's what I think. I think they got a chance to be really good. And it's interesting you talk about the Jets because you're right. We spent a little time while you were gone talk every so often the Jets come up because for the last couple of years, even way before this before last year's regular season – both teams were on that same kind of rebuild pattern. They had a lot of money after that last season. They had a lot of money to spend in free agency. They both took a quarterback in the same draft, like 4 picks apart, I guess. And so they were on that same path. And then after this last season, the Jets switched head coaches. Then they fired their GM. They brought in a head coach from a division rival, so they kind of like took a divergent path now from the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills, from you and I being in this building, they're building on everything they've done already.
Yeah.
They're shifting gears. They're not changing paths. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The Bills, they put in $18, $20 million into this facility and manned it with all these medical staff members with an enormous paradigm shift of getting players healthy and keeping them healthy, not just for games, but for practices. They've got massage therapists. They've got sleep. They got all this stuff, and it's all manned. You know, guys don't have to pay their own masseuse. They don't have to pay for their own acupuncture. They don't have to pay for their own cryo. All this stuff is here. So the Bills are like still climbing on this same path and making progress in all this, and the Jets have decided, you know, like,
well, yeah, and the way I was thinking, again, reading about the mostly the AFC East and the Jets in particular, I thought, all right, I see the parallels that you mentioned, new quarterbacks and kind of a new approach, but it seems to me the Bills are at least a half step, maybe a full step ahead of the Jets, right?
Yeah.
And trying to come
and
back.
And forget about the fact that whether you like Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, whichever one you want, and you and I both think Sam Darnold's a good quarterback.
I do.
And I like the way what I see out of Josh. You can whichever one you like is irrelevant in the big scheme of both these franchises. Because now, I don't think there's any question, the Jets have, you know, I wouldn't say stumbled.
It's like they've taken a sidestep.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to reset.
Yeah.
We got a new head coach. We got a new offensive approach.
They're trying to reset on the fly.
Yeah, which is what you do when you don't like what you were doing with the old coach. But we'll see how it plays out, right? I mean, you look at preseason predictions, and some people have the Bills at 2, some people have the Bills at 3, most people have the Dolphins at 4. It's the Bills and the Jets, I think, in position to challenge the Patriots, hopefully this year, if not in the next 2 years.
And it's going to be interesting, too, because I know what we're going to do, because we're going to get to opening day, we're going to be in MetLife Stadium playing the Jets on opening day, and we're all going to they're going to evaluate the last 3 years of progress for both clubs, and they're going to all come down to that one game.
Yeah.
No matter who wins or loses, one team's doing it right, and the other one stinks.
Yep.
No matter what it is. It could be flip side, whoever. You could just change the jerseys at the end, and it's going to be the same narrative for whoever wins that game is doing everything right, and the other team is doing everything wrong, has made all these mistakes.
And you get the Jets again on the final week of the season, too. Right? They open against the Jets and close against
the
Jets. Oh,
man. You know what? You remember? Yeah, it makes me think. Remember that year when the Bills did that with the Patriots?
Yeah.
Spanked them 31-0
and 31-0.
And 31-0 the other end. Oh, my gosh.
Well, take that.
That's
no,
so
you want to sweep the Jets. They should have done it last year. You want to sweep the Dolphins.
You want to sweep the Jets and the Dolphins,
yeah.
And you want to win at least one against the Pats.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot to ask for anybody, including the Patriots. It's hard to ask them to go 6-0 in the division. You know,
yep.
That's a big ask.
Yep. And Patriots have done a lot of it.
Yeah.
So we're back. I'm back with Steve. Steve has been here a while, and we're here for this week. And we're just a week and a half away from training camp. As Steve mentioned, we'll do shows at training camp. The last time I added it up, it's about, what, eight?
Eight.
Eight shows in Rochester.
Ongoing count.
And then four shows in Carolina. A couple of shows in Spartanburg, South Carolina, when the Bills are down there practicing with Carolina Panthers. Man. And a couple of shows in Charlotte, North Carolina, the day before and the day of the Bills' second preseason game. So it'll be busy.
Yeah, it seems funny, but it seems like it'd be simple. Noon to three, you and I are on. We sit next to each other, and we talk about the Bills, you know, all day, every day. But here's the thing. You get these camp schedules, and I was trying to go through it with my wife because we were thinking, well, maybe we'll do a little overnight in Rochester between one of the nights when the game, right?
Yeah.
I could not figure out which practices we were going to be there for. I knew there was eight shows. I couldn't figure out which eight there were going to be. I could not do it. My scheduling prowess is sorely lacking. And I'm trying to do everything on these phone, you know, with the calendar thing, yeah. Right? It's because it pops up on my phone. It goes on her phone automatically, right? So I'm trying to get the I'm horrible at this. Well, I could not figure out which shows we're
going to
do.
If I don't show up at your house by 7:30 in the morning, that means we are not going to Rochester.
I just go to the stadium.
Just come here. That'll keep it simple.
That's right.
So we're looking forward to it. A week and a half away, the 25th, 10 days from today, Bills first practice, 9:45 a.m. at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, and those open practices there. And we're there the weekdays when the Bills are practicing, and then going to South Carolina and North Carolina for the week of August 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th.
The Bills at the Panthers on August 16th.
And that's what I meant when I said the summer's over. It is for us. Don't you feel like the summer's over?
Yeah.
Look, we got good weather. We'll have days when you're breathing the fresh air and saying this is great summertime.
I mean, it's fun going to training camp. We had a lot of fun last year going because we had that little routine where you'd pick me up and we'd head out and we'd stop at the fruit stands on the way on the way back, you know. And it was always a nice drive, and it's a great way to wind down, too.
We'll make it more fun this year. We'll find a couple more stops.
Yeah. I'm all about it.
Welcome to the show.
We got to stop at that little spot. Isn't there a little brewery?
Yeah, right down 28.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been there. Have you?
It's no.
Yeah,
it's
we'll
like
go there.
Somebody's house.
Yeah. I go by it all the time.
There's always like three cars. You wonder about the guys that are standing there.
I'll tell you what. The last couple times I've gone by it, they're a lot more. I don't even know the name of the place, but they're a lot more than three cars.
I don't know if there is a name.
I think they're growing their business. We'll check that out on the way home someday.
Yeah, maybe.
Planning our drinking schedule ahead of time for a training camp. Welcome to the show. We're here until 3. Happy to be with you here today. Quiet here at One Bills Drive. I would imagine that'll change as this week moves along, Steve. The players know that they got to go to work in Rochester 10 days away, so they'll start showing up and getting in their workouts here, I would think, over by the end of this week, right?
Yeah, I think some of them are probably starting to taper off a little bit now. They're starting to, you know, just some light conditioning and some maintenance and some stretching and that kind of thing. They'll do some stuff, but nothing intense, because last thing you want to do is show up at training camp with a freshly twisted ankle or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of guys, this is the last chance to get off their feet for a couple of days before training camp hits, you know.
They do have conditioning tests. Did you have that when you were playing? Because I know that Sean McDermott does. First day or two of report day, they do a conditioning test. Pretty simple. Usually it's run this distance in this amount of time. Did you guys do that?
We didn't. I don't know if that was yeah, I guess we did. But I remember they doing it different ways throughout my career. Early on, and Rusty Jones, who was the strength and conditioning coach at that time, he would change it up as he learned more about it and when it would help us and stuff. Sometimes we did it at minicamp, like early in the off season. So guys would show up, oh my God. So they had this deadline. They had to show up like they were working out during the off season. So there was that benchmark for minicamp when they'd come in late April after the draft, they'd show up and guys were like, okay, I'm, you know, ready to go. So then they could just, you know, so it kind of spurred them to keep it going throughout the off season. And then other years there was physical testing right at the end, right at training camp when you come back and it wasn't like there was I don't ever remember having like you have to do this much or this time at this time, but there was also, it's like, listen, let's see what you can do here. Let's give you, how many can you bench? How many times can you bench this? How high can you jump here? Or what's your body fat percentage? That kind of thing. It was more of an evaluation than it was a test.
I think over the years, I see more and more coaches institute that kind of test for early in training camp, and I think it's not really about the first day of training camp. It's about this, make sure that you're not just slacking off for the last couple of weeks of the offseason.
That's true, too. And you remember back, and we've mentioned this guy's name a couple of times because of the way his career went, it was short-lived, but Carlos Williams.
Yeah.
You get guys who show up and they
I believe he failed his condition.
He failed. You can't put him on the – they don't want to put him on the field because all of a sudden the guy blows his knee. You end up paying the guy $500,000 when you were going to cut him in a week in training camp. You don't want to give them a chance to soak you for money that they don't deserve. And so if you can't get into shape or show up in shape, and plus you want to talk about a black mark in the ledger against your name, showing up out of shape is the biggest one.
Yeah. So that would think would be on the minds of some players. But, again, not a whole lot of players. It does not appear here yet. But we anticipate over the next week and a half, we'll see that. And we do want to remind you that a couple of Fridays away, it is the return of the blue and red, the Bills' night practice. As we said, a total of about 8 or 10 practices in Rochester. But one open practice here Friday, August 2nd at New Era Field, 6:15 p.m. The gates open at 5:15 p.m. It's presented by Bud Light. The return of the blue and the red night practice. You need tickets, go online to buffalobills.com. Find out where to get tickets. Starting Wednesday for the return of the blue and red.
That's usually a pretty fun time because it's a more casual atmosphere, no question. I don't think that there's seat assignments, right? It's like a concert, right? You just kind of show up and
festival
sit where you
seating.
Want. Yeah, and the players walk out, and it's a practice, so it's really low key.
It's fun,
and it is.
They've
fun.
They've done it. You know, Sean's done it 2 years now with this team.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, it's a lot of fun. People have fun at that practice.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Plus, for people here in Buffalo who don't want to make the drive to Rochester and watch them practice and have never seen a practice, it's fun to kind of go watch these guys in it because it's way different than a game.
Yeah.
And it's in some ways better because, you know, you see the guys at a more casual way away from, you know, you see them when they're standing around, you know, and they're talking, who are they talking to, what they're really like. You got to get an idea of their temperament. It's fun.
All kinds of interaction with fans at that. It's like training camp, but even better. Right. I think, than a training camp practice. And it's coming up one week into camp, Friday, August 2nd. You can get tickets for the return of the blue and the red, ticket vouchers at various sites all over Western New York, and be ready for that. You do need a ticket for the return of the blue and the red on Friday, August 2nd.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff going on, too. Well, with the CBA and
NFL. Yeah, let's get to that. Well, let's tell you about our show. Coming up later today on the show, Doug, look, I read 2 books during my weeks off. One of them was Stephen King. It was good, a new novel. The other one was by this guy, Doug Farrar. He covers the NFL for USA Today. He's been a guest on the show before. He's got a wide variety of things he's ready to talk about, including quarterback play. He's ranked the top 11 quarterbacks in the NFL, top 11 running backs. But he also, when he joined us a couple of months ago, talked about his book a little bit called The Genius of Desperation, about what makes the schematic innovations that made the modern NFL. And as I got into this book, I haven't completed it yet, there's some Buffalo Bills references, including references to the old 64-65 AFL championship teams, how good they were defensively, and how that was the result of desperation, looking for an answer. How are we going to stop Sid Gilman and the crazy San Diego Chargers passing offense? Joel Collier gets credit for that. And we'll talk with Doug Farrar about that when he joins us today in the 2 o'clock hour. And a special guest at 2 o'clock, we'll have him live in studio with us. He's coming to town to promote the racing in Watkins Glen, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series coming to Watkins Glen a couple of weeks away. And Daniel Suarez, who just finished 8th in Kentucky yesterday. He drives the Stewart Haas Racing's number 41 Ford. Daniel Suarez joins us today in the 2 o'clock hour, we believe, to talk about the Go Bowling at the Glen Tripleheader Race weekend, and that's coming up in August, first weekend of August. August 1st through the 4th, I think it is. Yeah, and Daniel Suarez is going to join us in studio, making a visit here to check out One Bills Drive.
I drove the pace car last year at that race, and it's
big time.
It's an unbelievable venue.
Yeah,
it's a great out on the countryside of Watkins Glen. You can imagine people here in Western New York know how beautiful the country is around there, and to have this road course there, elevation changes in the course, it's unbelievable. Huge crowd out there.
Yep.
For it and. Really cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
Really neat atmosphere.
Daniel Suarez is going to join us today on the show to talk about that. All right. Look, not a whole lot of news over the last couple of weeks, which made it easy to be gone. But as last week wound down, there was a big news item on Friday. Steve took ill Friday. You all right now?
I'm 100% today.
Because you were not on the air the day when it broke. It's basically – The Steve Tasker plan is now in play. This is a plan that Steve has proposed over the last several months, and we get into heated arguments about it. I am reluctant to talk about it today because I'm feeling good right back from vacation. I don't feel like having a big argument, but we have to talk. I really don't. I know you'll get it out of me. We have to talk about this. The owners, in their CBA negotiations, Roger Goodell admitted over the weekend two things. One, he said, we're trying to get a contract done before this season begins. That's huge.
That's big.
It's big. Two, the concept of an 18-game regular season schedule is in play with players only playing 16 of those 18 games. The Tasker plan. Congratulations. Did you propose it to the owners?
No. I've been telling everybody who had two ears that this is my plan. We had Pete Prisco on. He started spouting off. I go, that's my plan.
Yeah, the Tasker plan.
So now I know it's not going to happen, right? Because for whatever reason. But it is something I think we've talked about this at length. And here's the thing. There's this big appetite out there, particularly like last season. There's a big appetite, even here in Western New York. We had a 6-10 football team. People wanted to see our team. The fans wanted to see our team keep playing. They wanted to see Josh Allen keep playing. He was a compelling figure to watch. It was a fun team to watch. They had a good defense. And we want to see if this quarterback could make enough plays to win a game. Other fans like that feel the same way around the country. So you always get to the end of the season thinking, man, I wish our team was still playing. So that's why the AAF comes out. That's why the XFL is going to come. There's this appetite around for more football. And I think this is the NFL's chance to, hey, let's grab some of it. And there's no doubt, you're right. It's a money grab.
Well, yeah, when you say let's grab some of it, they're saying let's grab some of the money.
It's a money grab.
Look, I don't know if I even agree with you, Steve. There are plenty of seasons that have ended here in Buffalo, unfortunately, where people are like, phew, I'm glad that's over.
Right.
And that's not just a Buffalo thing. That goes on all over the place. I think there's a certain integrity to a 16-game regular season. Let's just start with this before we get to the 16-game playing schedule.
Right.
Who's begging for an 18-game regular season? Nobody. Is there a problem with preseason?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the commissioner has admitted the preseason game does not measure up to the quality of product that they have put out there. But is anybody who's looking for 18 games? You know who is?
The owners.
The owners.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's a cash grab. It's a money grab.
And if you heard in the news, the NFL just dispersed over $8 billion to all the NFL owners. Every team got $274+ million. It just showed up in their bank account. Now, this just in, the cap is $180, is $180 million. So they got like $96 million above what they got to pay the players, not including what they don't spend, what the $30 million that were like the Bills are short of the cap or whatever they are short of the cap with their top 56 players. It's a cash cow.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I mean, the league has gotten to this point. They have done everything they could to grow the league in every conceivable way, right? I mean, they expanded to 32 teams all the way down from when I played and when I began. It was 28, right? So it's 28 teams. Now they're at 32 teams. Now they've got 16-game schedule. Decades ago, it was 14-game schedule. They've gotten into international games. London hosts five games this year, international games. They're taking a game to Mexico City this year. Well, probably looks for the last time, though. They're looking to expand internationally. They have done everything they can to make it more interesting for fans. They've brought in instant replay because fans were outraged over a bad call against their team that couldn't be fixed. They've done everything they can, better camera angles, pylon cameras, better coverage, more access to players in the offseason. The league has really done everything it could to spur fan interest decade after decade after decade. And as a result, they've got this 800-pound gorilla in the sports landscape of American sports, right? So now what do they do? That's the big question.
How about they sit back and take their money and say, we got a good thing going on. Let's not make it worse.
I don't know if that's in their DNA.
I don't think it is. Here's our Twitter poll today, and we want to get discussion going on this. On One Bills Live on Twitter, lots of talk lately about a possible 18-game regular season, right? I'm not opposed to discussing this, even though for months now I've been shooting down the Tasker plan. But our question is, what should an NFL regular season look like? What's your ideal NFL regular season? Is it A, 16 games, leave it as is? Is it B, 18 games and the players play in all 18? Is it C, the Tasker plan, 18-game season, players only play 16 of those 18? Or do you got something else in mind? Right now on Twitter, the early results with more than 750 votes in, more than half of you say leave it as it is, 16 games. Keep going with that. 52% say that. 30% say play 18 games in your regular season and the players have to play in all of them. 13% of you say the Tasker plan, 18 games, players only play 16. 5% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let's discuss. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Send it a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Send it into One Bills Live. What should an NFL regular season schedule look like? Are you okay if we call it the Tasker plan? I think you'd be happy about that.
Yeah.
It's
like
your plan.
Yeah, I like that more than the Hall of Fame counter.
Which has disappeared.
It disappeared.
What happened to the Hall
of Fame? Mercifully. So anyway, here's the thing. And I get it, too, because you don't want to see your team. I don't want to see the Bills play without Josh Allen in the lineup. I really don't.
No.
Here's the thing, though. When you get to those games where your starting quarterback or LeSean McCoy or whatever player you want to pick that you want to see, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, it's Matt Ryan or Julio Jones or whatever, you don't want to see your team play without its big guns.
Yeah.
Unless you're the 31 other teams. And then that team becomes pretty interesting. And I think that's a pretty compelling argument. The argument is true. You can't deny that, A, it's a money grab, and, B, that it does dilute the product, right? It does throw a big wet blanket over a star-driven league. And I think you have to weigh that against, one, the team becomes more – like the Patriots are going to be really interesting to watch if Tom's not playing. And if Edelman's out of the lineup.
Are they really?
I think a lot of people.
Less interesting to watch?
I think a lot of people would love to see him play and then see, now we're going to see how you can do and see him get their heads caved in. Obviously, fantasy football would explode over. They think it'd be great because it'd give them a chance to gain on whatever, all of that stuff. Also, I think another positive would be that. And I lost my train of thought. I had one more point about, and I can't keep them straight because there are a lot of positives. The negatives are, it dilutes the product.
Yeah.
It extends the season for the players, but not the workload. And you have a lot of logistics where we were just talking in the control room. When do you find out that your starting quarterback is not going to play this week? What day of the week? That's a big question.
There's all kinds of logistical questions. And look, they can take care of themselves, but what does it do to people who like to wager money on games? And when do I find out? Do I find out Sunday morning at 11:30 about the 1 o'clock kickoff and who's going to play quarterback? That doesn't seem like that would be to anyone's benefit. Do I find out, what if the teams are forced to make a decision Monday or Tuesday and then the quarterback or receiver or running back that teams are planning on gets hurt in practice? Now what do you do? Now
that's a problem.
You're totally up against it. Look, there's so many logistical issues. And beyond that, Steve, for my mind, and we've talked about this and much more heated comments that we've had over the months, it's just not right to charge your regular season prices to fans, your fans or any NFL fans, and not put the best possible healthy product you can on the field. It's just not right. It's not fair to fans. The only people that benefit from this Tasker plan, 18 games schedule, 16 games for players, the only people that benefit are the owners who get two more games to sell on TV, and they dilute their own product. I don't know that the league can go down that path to start to water down the product. And I get it. Preseason is a problem. And I've come up, we've talked about some of my preseason plans. You know, I have a low-cost, not necessarily televised rookie and, you know, young player game.
Right.
There's a million ways to do preseason, but
I'd like to hear
this
a plan
is not
for
one
that.
Of, yeah.
This would do away with two of those preseason games, no question. But you know, at what cost? My thoughts were you start the season, and this is an extra part of the Tasker plan, if we're calling it that. You play those last two preseason games would become regular season games, right? And then if none of us remember, nobody plays games over Labor Day weekend. Right? This year it's September 2nd. And the opening weekend of the season is September 9th. In my mind, and under the Steve Tasker plan, September 2nd still remains a bye week for the entire league. You play those first couple of games of the regular season, and then the whole league is off for Labor Day weekend. You can go out and you can go fishing. You can go do whatever you want, and you can kind of play those two preseason games, two regular season games. Then you take that break. You get a breather right there at the beginning of the season so teams could gather themselves up, say, here's what we think we are after these first two games. Now let's go. And it would be an acknowledgement of a national holiday where there's not NFL football on. And then that's also an extra week off for the players, a chance to get healthy after training camp or after the first couple of preseason games. That week off is gold at any time you can put it. And then every team would have their regular bye week after that. So I think I can't believe this either. During the negotiations, the run-up, the reported conversations the league and the CBA have had over this whole scheduling proposal has been that DeMaurice Smith, the spokesperson, the president of the Players Association, the guy who's running the negotiations on the side of the players, has said he doesn't think the 18-game schedule, even with the 16-game limit for players, is in the players' best interest. I think it's the opposite of that, with particularly the way I'm proposing.
What does it do for the players?
It gives them way more time off during the regular season. They get an extra two weeks. And so if a guy tweaks his ankle, he can take the next two games off. He doesn't have to fight back on to the field. He doesn't have to take a needle to get back on the field to play in a division game or whatever. He can take those 2 weeks off because he's got them coming anyway, and he won't lose any games of the 16 that he's had. You'll find players staying healthier in the games that they can play because they've had a chance not to have to, like Taron Johnson doesn't have to fight through his shoulder for 15 weeks. He could have taken 2 weeks off early in the season and maybe gotten to a point where he could have gotten well enough to play. You can even get, in this day and age, you can get an offensive lineman who's going to struggle to get through his 16 games. He can get a dusting and cleaning of his knee in week four, take those next 2 weeks off, and he can come back and maybe even be a reserve or maybe even be on the field for a game. Because you got guys doing that now all the time. You never stay healthy during the season. And with two games built in, plus a bye week, a guy could get a month off and come back and play 16 games healthy and not have to get surgery in the offseason.
We got to get to a break here, but I do want to say part of the appeal to me of the NFL is the urgency of each week. The fact that we need you this week. You might have to take a shot. You might have to play her. Seriously, the importance of each game, I think, is part of the appeal. Every game matters. This is not an 82-game hockey schedule or 82-game NBA schedule. You got 16 games. They all matter. We need them all. We need you, if you're healthy and available to play, we need you that day.
Well, that's an
appeal to the fans, that these games matter. If you want to make these games less meaningful, I think you run the risk of killing the goose that laid the golden egg, right?
Well,
these games are meaningful. Why make them less meaningful?
There's two sides of that coin. The games are meaningful. In fact, they've become so meaningful that you're willing to sacrifice a guy's future health in order to play 1 week in a game, in a season.
And that's not a motivation for the owners. Come on. You think
health is... I'm talking about the Players Association.
Okay. Right.
I think it's better for the players. That's why I think this is a huge win for the players. I can't believe they didn't jump at this, because it gives your players a chance to take a breath during the season and not take a needle 5 weeks in a row trying to get on top of an ankle or a shoulder or an elbow. And it just gives them a chance not to be under that kind of physical pressure where they're for sure going to have to get their shoulder worked on in February because they couldn't take 3 weeks off during the regular
season. Is important. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to hear from Mark Murphy, president of the Packers. Clarence, New York native, has got a kind of a response to this, a plan of his own. We'll call that the Mark Murphy plan, not the John Murphy plan. We know what the Tasker plan is. We're going to talk about that when we return. Give us a call. Lines open, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-552-550. Send us a tweet. We're going to read some of them off the tweet sheet when we return. Come on back. We're just getting rolling here. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we know it's a good discussion when it goes on during the commercial break, right?
Yeah.
And it went on. We're talking to our crew in the other room, our great off-air crew about this topic. NFL regular season, the Tasker plan is in play now. 18-game regular season with players limited to 16 games. I don't know about that. So what should the NFL regular season look like? That's our question today. Should it be the same as it is right now, 16 games? Should it be 18 games, players eligible to play all 18? Should it be 18 games, players can only play in 16? You got another plan? Give us a call and we'll discuss. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Going to get to the tweet sheet in a moment, but let's start with a call. Steve on the line from Ohio. Hello, Steve. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, good to see you guys back in the fold.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So anyway, I think Steve over the weekend, Steve, I don't know if you were ill. I think you were refining the Tasker plan down.
Yeah, right.
Just like special teams last year, they called in Steve to outline the Tasker plan. Last year, right. You straightened him out on kickoffs, and now you've done the schedule.
Right.
That, well, you know, on special teams, I can't argue with it if they did that for you, Steve, but because you were the best. But here is, Murph, this Fortnite age, you know, I got kids that are playing this Fortnite, and I agree with you. I think the purist is going to want the 16-game league. I think there's a lot to be said for an 18-game. I'm a purist myself. But I think if they did an 18-game season, I'm just going to try to refine your plan, Steve. You'd have to identify ahead of time. Vegas will go nuts. I mean, the house wins, but and fantasy will go nuts. But my point would be identify. So let's say the Bills' bye week is week 6. You identify the Allen-less week, if you will, is week 8. And to further that, it should be in your own division, your team's got to play your best players. So if we're going out to San Diego or something and Allen's not playing week 9, at least we get a hold of it. My second point is, for the purist, of which I am, whatever happened to adding a couple of players? I know it dilutes a bit. I mean, a couple of playoff teams.
You know, well, I think that dilutes it even more. I think I'm less a fan of having more playoff teams than I am a playing 18-game schedule. Not just because I think an 18 – like I came up with some 18-game schedule idea. I think – I don't like leagues where you play yourself out of the playoffs and not into the playoffs. I think 32 teams, the top third is – the teams are top third plus are the ones who get in the playoffs. I don't like – I wouldn't like it if 16 teams were in the playoffs. I wouldn't. I think that's way too many, and I think that's. I think it would. I think that's the would dilute the regular season immensely.
All right, let me ask you, Steve. Why do we got to change anything? Things are going pretty well, making a ton of money. Why does anything have to change?
And I got to admit, that's a legitimate question. What do you?
What
think?
Are we trying to fix here?
My straight opinion, where it's a cash grab, like you said. I've got my tickets. You guys know I call a lot. I'm a season ticket holder. I drive 5 hours from Columbus. I cannot wait to see these guys, and I'm chomping at the bit. I don't think anything has to be fixed.
Right. I got a question though for you. Would you rather pay full price for 2 preseason tickets or 2 regular season games that are watered down, like maybe that Josh Allen or LeSean McCoy isn't playing in? That actually mean something in the standings. Which would you rather play full price for?
It's a bad choice.
It is. It does seem to be a bad choice. What do you think, Steve?
I agree with you. I don't like paying full price for the preseason, but I get it. It's something that history is. It's a money team, a game, but you are watering it down. I mean, to look at the Bills without Josh Allen right now, or say take out Shady or you know, Trey, it's not quite the same thing. I think you're right, and you're absolutely right on that. I don't like it either way. I think it should remain the same. But
I do too.
You'd rather pay full price for the 2 preseason tickets and then just watch 16 regular season games where you know you're going to get your best players no matter what.
My final answer: 15 games. Play your best. May the best team win. Let's rock. Go Bills.
What if? Yeah, right.
That's his final answer.
Yeah, and I think so too. And one thing that's getting lost in this, we haven't really talked about it in this whole 18-game, you know, thing. It's all convoluted now. Even it's as kind of watered down as the league may look if it's 18 games. But the give back by the owners to the players for doing this, and I don't, because there's nothing there except this. The give back would be that they would expand the rosters, say from 53 guys to like 58 guys, to make sure you had a full complement of guys every week. So if you did have to, I think the math is 16 game schedule or 18 game schedule, you'd have to sit down, you know what, 3 guys a week to make it possible to have, you know, all your guys ready to play. So, given with injuries and all of that stuff, you're thinking about sitting down, going from 58 guys on the roster and 45 on game day. You might expand that to like 48 on game day, and go to 58 men on the rest on the regular season roster rather than 53 on the regular season roster. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because there's a math problem there to be worked out. With 18 games and you've got 53 guys on the roster and anybody can only play 16 of those games, well, then you got games where, wait, we got 25 guys we got to sit down in the last month of the season. Well, you know, it's too many to do that. So you can't get, you'd have to work out the math, and it would be it would be simple math, which I don't want to do in public because I'd screw it up. But right? You'd have to make sure the rosters were big enough to allow you with injuries and just, you know, guys just having to sit down, you'd have enough guys to field a team every week. So there's that to be done as well. And that would be the give back. So there'd be more guys on the roster, which means you'd have teams like, well, you know, like Baltimore, like the Patriots, like whoever, they'd go into a game and it may be one of those weeks where they do some, and this would really burn you up, Murph. Think about it. They come out running the wishbone, you know, because they don't have a quarterback, right? Because all of a sudden they got three guys to say, we're going to run three different guys. We'll have interchangeable quarterbacks. We're going to do some tricky, weird wing T. You're going to see that, right? And so you kind of run the risk of somebody doing something screwy like that. And it's like, then it becomes kind of a joke, right?
Yeah, it does. And I don't know why you would want to fool with the integrity of the game and with the as I said before, the urgency of each game, the fact that there's only 16 of them and each one of them counts. Let's go to the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From the tweet sheet, from the Bills Monster writes in, we need to eliminate the two preseason games. I think 16 games played in an 18-game season would make the coaches' jobs much harder. Different schemes for different quarterbacks, deciding to use a player buy on a semi-hurt player. Yeah, look, I don't care if it makes coaches' jobs harder. That's all right.
Right.
But that's not the motivation for doing it. But I think Bills Monster's first statement there, we need to eliminate the two preseason games. Well, there's four, so you're saying we need to eliminate two, and I agree with that. And I think this whole 18-game regular season thing is a result of the acknowledgement by everyone, including the commissioner, that preseason football is a bad product and it doesn't do the NFL that much good.
Well,
and there are ways to fix that without this artificial 18-game, 16-game player eligibility
and
rule.
Let's let history teach us a couple of things, because way back in the day, it used to be six preseason games in training camp. But one of the reasons for that was the guys were working second jobs. Football wasn't lucrative like it is now. The game was built on guys doing things like that. They had six preseason games because it would take them that long to go through training camp to get in shape to play a regular season. They wouldn't show up in shape like they do today. They weren't professional athletes. They were part-time.
They didn't work out all year. Like
exactly. They were part-time professional athletes. So because they didn't make enough money playing football to, you know, get there. So that's how they got. Then they went from six preseason games down to four. They went from 14 regular season games into 16 regular season games. So they started to trade off even then. We might have gotten to the point where that trade-off might be counterproductive now, where the 18 game, the game is such that you got professional athletes playing full go all the time. It's a physical game. You can't last 16 games. Or 18 games. You couldn't do it 18 games. So where are you going to find the maximum amount of regular season games you can get out of the human body and without having guys doing stupid stuff to stay on the field and giving, you know, having a league where it's competitive with a long enough season to be as lucrative as it can be for the owner? So that's the big gray area, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can come to a compromise or what they really decide on is going to happen.
More talk on this when we return. We'll take some more phone calls, read some more tweets. I think now that the Tasker plan is being legitimized almost, you seem to back off a little bit.
It's not going to happen now.
I want to get into
There's
that
no
too.
There's no way it's going to happen.
Why? Because you suggested.
Because it was my idea.
We're back in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. John Murphy with Steve Tasker back, ready to go to work 10 days away from the start of training camp, talking about the NFL regular season schedule. What should it look like? What do you think? 18 games? Players only play 16? That's the Tasker plan. From Jamestown, John is on the line, and I think he likes the Tasker plan. Right, John?
I love the Tasker plan. Welcome back, Murph.
And thank you.
Steve, I want to congratulate you on your ingenuity here. Need to bring this plan to fruition.
Yeah, you got to finish it up now, Steve. Make sure,
John, it's not going to happen now.
Well, come on,
it's got now that it's been legitimized. It's going to be there.
Put me on board to drive the bus.
Why?
What do you love about it?
What do you love about it?
Well, I just think you know, everybody knows that the playoff games just are a waste of time, and this thing would
preseason.
You mean preseason games?
The schedule and give the players more time, and I think that's the biggest thing that you brought up, the extra time off that they would have, that you need to heal in that business. That's you more than anybody can tell people it's a tough business.
Right. So, and you you think, and you said playoffs, but the preseason games are worthless. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think everybody knows that, and you know, we've seen the Pro Bowl degrade to a demonstration out there, and so they need to do something with the Pro Bowl too. But we can wait with that.
Do you have any problem with, like, say, for instance, your team going out? And this is, and Murph and I were talking about this in the break. This would be the first time I think either of us can think about in pro sports where you've got a healthy, great player who you are forced not to play because of the rules. So it's like you're not given. You know what I mean? Do you have any problem with that? Like, say, going to a game against, say, the Atlanta Falcons, and you don't get to watch Matt Ryan or Julio Jones play against your team?
I have no problem with that at all, and I think it gives the coaching staff around the league, the 32 teams, better opportunity for gamesmanship. Takes more planning on their part, and planning and preparation are the keys to every good sporting team, and it would give it more latitude to the coach.
Now I got one last question for you, John. What happens? Do you want to see your team, say, for instance, the Bills get into a bind for whatever scheduling snafu, and they're going to go into New England, and Josh Allen and LeSean McCoy have to sit down?
Well, and that's and you know that can happen every snap of the ball now. And
But it's not. Thank you, John, for calling. It can happen, but it's not artificially mandated as this way. Look at this scenario, and there's a million different scenarios. What if the Bills were going into the final week of the season and they had not rested Frank Gore for his second mandated game yet? And what if Shady McCoy gets hurt the Sunday before? And so now you're going into the final game of the season, and what if you got 8 wins or 9 wins and you need one more to clinch a playoff berth and you don't have your top two running backs? Does that sound like a good idea? Does that sound like a scenario that people would say, oh, I'm on board with that. Oh, too bad. You know, we didn't rest Gore. We got to rest him now. And look, I get it. There's gamesmanship. You can maneuver your roster, but you can't anticipate injuries, legitimate injuries that take people out of the game. You don't know when that's going to happen. What if you think we're all set, we're going to rest Gore, we got McCoy, McCoy gets hurt on the second snap. Now what? Now you don't have his backup. You don't have, because he has to rest today. Look, there's just so, and that's just one example. It's just not right. It's not fair. It's not fair to fans. It's not fair to the competitive nature of the game. And it removes the urgency and removes the importance of each game. It waters them down, each regular season game, to have 18 games with that. Look, it's bad enough. I get it. If you want to have an 18-game schedule, and let's leave preseason out of it for a second. I get it. Preseason is tough, and it's a problem that needs to be fixed. But what if you got an 18-game regular season schedule? That would water down each game, too. It would be a little less meaningful.
It's so, like 72 games in a baseball season.
Yeah.
82 games, whatever it is. Yeah. 62 games.
What is 162 games.
162 games, right. And
they don't mean as much.
And NBA's got 82 games.
82.
And hockey's got 82 games. So that would – obviously, the NFL's a long way from that. But here's the thing. What would it – and this is the basic question – A, what would it fix going to 18 games, and what is there to fix?
Yeah, what's the problem?
What are the benefits? Would it make it more interesting on certain days or not interesting? And I'll tell you, just as you were saying that, what if you know, this thing happens or this thing happens? It's hard to play that game on either side of this argument, because all this stuff could happen with or without 18 games. You could still get – like the Bills last year got forced to start two quarterbacks that had been in town for 10 days.
Yeah.
So that happens even now. It's easy to construe a scenario where it would be even worse for some of these teams, where they not only can they not play, they don't have the guy standing right there healthy and can't play.
Yeah.
Then That's pretty maddening. But the scenarios and the what-ifs and stuff, you can play all the things, all that all the time, even in a 16-game schedule the way it currently is now. The thing you got to think about is here. Does it make it more interesting to watch on any given week or less interesting to watch on any given week? And I don't know. So that's the debate.
I don't know how it's more interesting.
Is it more interesting on an 18-game schedule when you don't have to suffer through two extra weeks of the preseason? Is that a okay giveaway?
You don't have to do that. Fix preseason. Put that aside. Fix preseason. I get that.
Wait. That's a different plan. But on this plan, is 18 games that are watered down with guys that have to sit better than the current system where four preseason games, all four of which stink, and 16 regular season games that are actually pretty good and meaningful, and you got guys kind of grinding it out trying to get back on the field? Do you like that, or do you want to go 18 games where you got guys with a chance to show up 16 games healthy with some time off, lengthen the games that matter into a point where you got 18 games over the same – it's the exact same calendar stretch. It's not like they're adding two games on the front of the season or on the back of the season. Does it make it more interesting or does it make it less interesting? And that's – and even me as the guy here on this show is taking total credit for this plan. I don't even know if I can answer that. You know what I mean?
That's what we're trying to get to. I want to hear from you about
maybe
it.
Maybe it's a push.
It's not a push. It's bad. But we'll talk more about it.
It's
bad.
Because here's the thing.
It's bad.
Josh Allen missed four games last year.
Because he was hurt.
Yeah.
He didn't miss two because they decided we're going to play somebody else or the rules forced them to. Yeah, it's different.
What's that got to do with
anything? It's incredibly different. It's ridiculously different.
And besides,
if you're hurt and you can't play, that's one thing. If you're forced to decide, that's not good.
Well, you got a plan for it.
You want Josh Allen to – you just mentioned it. The image of a late-season meaningful game, and here's your starting quarterback standing on the sidelines. In fact, I don't even want him on the sidelines. I want him – don't even show up at the stadium. We don't want that picture of you standing on the sidelines.
Now, listen to this. If I'm the NFLPA, here's what I do.
Give him the week off.
Not only can he – if you're going to say it, he gets – he's got to be out.
I don't want to see him.
It's like a suspension.
It would be a reminder of what a stupid rule this is.
Josh Allen can go to Puerto Rico.
Go. He can go to the beach. I don't want to see you on the sideline.
Think about that.
Yeah.
If I'm the Players Association and I'm D. Maurice Smith, say, yeah, okay, you know what? I don't want my – if you're going to give him time off, give him time off.
Yeah.
Don't just have him standing around taking reps, practicing, lifting weights, doing all this meeting, going in at 7 a.m., getting treatment.
Give him the week off. I don't want him around. I don't want to see him. I don't want to be reminded of what a dumb idea this is.
He is out for the whole 2 weeks. He's out. And this and that bye week, that's getting extended too. If it's a bye week, the players are off for 5 days. That's another thing.
He's getting warmed up. We're going to take some calls when we come back. Come on back with us. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.